with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. As the strike deadline came and went over the weekend, Verizon workers and their union officials are still trying to hammer out an agreement. Lisa Raminello reports.
As the talks continue, Verizon workers are keeping up the pressure. They rallied in the rain before work, saying they won't be patient forever.
The guys are geared up for this. This is what they want. You know, they want to keep holding on to what we have. They don't want anything taken away from us, so we're going to do exactly what we have to do.
Union members say they want to keep working, but if the talks stop making progress, they are prepared to hit the streets, united, to preserve benefits and job security. Lisa Raminello, New York.
Secretary of State Colin Powell is reportedly ready to leave the State Department in 2005, even if President Bush is reelected. The Washington Post cites sources saying Richard Armitage, Powell's deputy, told National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice he and Powell would leave the day after the next presidential inauguration. Powell reportedly told associates that he'd depart due to a commitment he made to his wife and not because of any disagreements concerning the Bush administration's foreign policy. Attorney General John Ashcroft is reminding Americans not to grow complacent in the war on terror.
We believe that there are individuals who are sympathizers and facilitators who are still operating in the United States.
Ashcroft told CBS's Face the Nation the al-Qaeda network has been damaged and disabled but not destroyed. On a related note, Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge says the U.S. has begun tighter security screening of foreign airline passengers. Two people in a Learjet died today when their plane went down in Groton, Connecticut. The aircraft hit three houses as it crashed into a nearby river. No one on the ground was killed. One woman received minor injuries when she jumped from her house after it caught fire. The crash investigation is underway. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow was down 72 points, the Nasdaq down 23, and the S&P down 11 points.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness, kidney disease. They all can be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know if you have it. But what makes diabetes so scary? Many people don't know when they have it, because there are often no symptoms. Meanwhile, diabetes can be causing damage that will lead to serious problems later on. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk for diabetes. What should you do? See your doctor. Because a simple blood test can detect the problem. And with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. For more information, call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
Liberians dance for joy as Nigerian peacekeepers arrived at the country's international airport near Monrovia. The long-awaited West African soldiers have been sent to try to put 14 years of civil war in the region to an end. Washington has yet to decide whether to send in Marines aboard U.S. warships said to be on the way to the region. A new study suggests your major in college could determine your life expectancy. The study published in the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine shows students with art degrees are more likely to die young than medical students who tend to live longer.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here again to tell you about InPhone. I hate asking people for directions. It's embarrassing. So instead, I call InPhone. And the nice operator at InPhone gives me driving directions, phone numbers, movie times, or restaurant reservations. So cling to your independence like I do. Call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Jesse sent you. Call now. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first five calls are free.
It was a spending frenzy in Texas over the weekend. The fifth annual tax-free holiday took place, providing exemptions from state and local sales taxes on most clothing and footwear under $100. Amy Hostler, a Dallas mother of two young daughters, says she made the most out of her shopping spree.
Just the last few minutes, we got the girls' dance clothes and the dance shoes and their school shoes, fall shoes. That's funny. it.
The sales tax holiday began at 12:01 a.m. on Friday and lasted until 12:59 p.m. Sunday night. The Texas Retail Association says the merchants see the sales tax holiday as Christmas in August. It was a nice weekend for an American wedding. The third installment of the American Pie comedy series took in $34.3 million in its opening weekend. At the other end of the box office chart, though, Geely made $3.8 million in its opening weekend. The film starring Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez has been tarred and feathered by critics. It cost $54 million to produce. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ancient peddlers invented it. Avon ladies made it big. And the high-tech Japanese still do it. If you think door-to-door is passé, when I come back, I'll tell you the latest. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly-Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. Japan has a reputation for tradition. Even buying cars is done the old-fashioned way, by door-to-door salesmen. But motivated by the recession and consumer demand, dealers are reconstructing their strategy. Nissan plans to open the door to Japan's first large-scale auto mall. And Honda's added a window to the World Wide Web with the introduction of internet-based kiosk. Another tradition breaker? Japan is buying record numbers of American-made parts, opening another door of opportunity. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Welcome back to me, I guess. I'm so pleased to be back behind the microphone here after a week off. Thank you for sticking around over this past week when we were rebroadcasting programs, and thanks to Ski Anderson for his Thursday sitting in for us, and to Rama Schneider for Tuesday sitting in for us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on ground-based terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting, as they say, from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite system, Sirius Channel 145, and streaming audio on the Internet on radiopower.org and ieamericaradio.com. If you'd like to drop into our chat room, go to tomhartmanshow.com and just click the links to the chat room. Already got a bunch of folks in there, and should be an interesting day. We've got a lot of interesting things to talk about today. And also, radiopower.org streams our content, and whiteRoseSociety.org archives it. Both of those sites are websites that operate purely on contributions. Radiopower.org is running a fundraiser right now, and any donations are appreciated. White Rose Society also gives you the opportunity to subscribe, as it were, to their service, which I think is a fine thing. They also archive Mike Malloy's show in the IE America Radio products. Are humans unique and separate from nature, or are they part of the natural world? We have actually a lot of news, a lot of amazing things happening in the world. I want to get to them mostly in our next hour, because we have a guest here at the bottom of the hour that I want to get into this topic a little bit with first. There is just one little news thing that I wanted to drop in, though, before I get into that. The spin of the week, month, quarter, I don't know, year, you start noticing this. All the Republicans are starting to talk now, not about weapons of mass destruction, but weapons of mass destruction programs. In other words, if anybody in Saddam's government was thinking about producing weapons of mass destruction, that's a program. And that program is no doubt there will be evidence of such things. In fact, we're getting the signals now that they've found evidence of such things. And this is going to be the reinvention, Bush reinventing himself. He's done it so many times. He's going to do it again as the great searcher after programs. And by the way, did you see Tom Ridge on Face the Nation this weekend? He, honest to God, he actually said, this is a permanent war. I was amazed that the news media did not pick this up. He said, President Bush was right in intuiting that we were at war, and this is a permanent war. I mean, this is George Orwell revisited, George Orwell all over again. I want to get into that in more detail. I'd like to spend an entire hour on that, not today, but as we go through the week. Permanent war. You know, what did George Orwell talk about? Why permanent war for permanent peace? Why did the kings of old, rather overtly, set up situations where they always had another king that they were always at a state of low-grade warfare with in order to keep their people focused and behind them? And how is this administration using that strategy that was so eloquently defined by Niccolo Machiavelli back 500 years ago to buffalo the American people? But for right now, for this hour, I want to deal with this issue, and this is an important one. And are humans unique and separate from nature, or part of the natural world? Are we part of nature, or are we completely different from nature? Does nature have nothing to do with us? Is, to quote, see, here's where I'm going with this. The fellow we're going to have on in the next hour, in the next half hour, Andrew Bernstein, wrote a piece called Environmentalism versus Human Life in the Media Link of the Ayn Rand Institute. And he says, since the good is that which benefits human life, the converse also holds true. Whatever harms or destroys human life is evil. On this score, he says, environmentalism is the most destructive doctrine ever devised. As the most anti-human theory in history, environmentalism is necessarily the most inhuman. Its virulently anti-man essence leaves us with a stark choice: human life or environmentalism. There is no middle ground. And I'd like to get into that a little bit. First of all, the concept that we're separate from humans. I really got this. Jack Forbes, Professor Jack Forbes at the University of California, Davis, is a Native American and a professor of anthropology and Native American studies. And Louise and I met him 6 or 7 years ago, 8 years ago. I was writing a book called Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, in which I quote him. And he had written a book called Columbus and Other Cannibals about the occupation of North America by Europeans from a Native American point of view. And he shared a word with me, a word in the language of his tribe. I forget the name of the tribe. He said, we think that you, or at least your ancestors, when they came over here from Europe, were infected with a contagious psychological illness called wetiko. W-E-T-I-K-O, and the way they pronounce it is to emphasize the first syllable, wetiko. And he said, it means to suck the life out of everything, including other people, a form of cannibalism, as it were. And he said, ultimately, it destroys you yourself. And we have been through these cycles, he said. They have, his people have in the past had the experience of destroying their environments and making these mistakes, and they've learned from them. Now, of course, this is not true of all Native American communities. When, at the time of contact, there were some Native American communities that had figured this out and were living in relative harmony or balance with their environment. There were others that were in the stage of growth and that had gone back into a cultural worldview very similar to ours, which is the world is here for us to use. Get while the getting's good. This was the theory that the Maori Indians, the M-A-O-R-I, the Maori natives, excuse me, they're actually Melanesian folks who got on boats about 3,000 years ago and went to what is now New Zealand. And when they landed, there were, as I recall, 24 different species of moa bird, M-O-A, the moa birds, on the island, and ranging in size from around 25 pounds to up to 500 pounds. And they just had to walk up to them, break their necks, and eat them. And these people thought they had found a paradise. There is one moa bird graveyard up in northern New Zealand with 90,000 moa skeletons in it. And the archaeological record is pretty clear. For about 300 years or so, the Maori people had no warfare. There were no implements of war. They lived in a paradise for, what, 9, 10, 12 generations. Just ate moa birds. In fact, Maori means moa-eating people. And then they ate the last moa bird. They literally made extinct 24 species of animals. And then they started fishing the coasts around New Zealand, and the archaeological record, you see their hooks going from very large to progressively smaller and smaller and smaller. As they discovered that humans are not unique and separate from nature, but rather are part of the natural world. And when they wiped out their food supply, there wasn't just instantly something there to replace it. They made extinct several species of sea lions around the island, wiped out all kinds of stuff, and ended up eating rats and roots. And this led them into a period that lasted well over 1,000 years until Captain Cook discovered New Zealand in, as I recall, around about 1600. And I have to go back and look at the exact year in the 1600s, though. It led them into a period, a protracted period of warfare. They built these fortresses called Pas, P-A-S, to make it plural. And the Pas, and they had these, there were Pas all over the island, each one for its own tribe. They had these very sophisticated protocols of war. They changed their religion to a male-dominated war god. Each young boy was dedicated to this god of war, who was the god of this new version. And their primary protein source became other people. And this is not, you know, something the Maori are embarrassed about. I mean, they to this day sing songs about and tell stories about great bravery in the face of capturing and eating their enemies. And this was some would look at this and say, you know, gee, this is really no way to live. I mean, they'd go on raiding trips to other communities where they would try to get people to bring back and eat. And they would take a person along with his hands tied together as food on the hoof. So there's this idea that there is a limit to the bounty that our environment can produce. And that if we think that we're completely separate from nature and the human mind will always provide, history doesn't necessarily support that. The Roman civilization crashed when they ran out of wood. The Greek civilization crashed when they ran out of wood. The Sumerian civilization crashed, and the Mesopotamian civilizations crashed when they chopped down all the trees and it produced downwind salination and siltation. More than 75% of the topsoil that existed worldwide when Europeans first colonized America is now gone. And substantial damage is done to the water cycle by cutting our forests. By burning trees, coal, and oil, we're currently putting over 6 billion tons of carbon into the atmosphere every year, an explosion compared to the 1.6 billion tons we spit out in 1950. And the trees are the key to this. The oceans account for less than 8% of our atmosphere's oxygen, all that plant life in the ocean. Only 8%. That's actually rapidly dropping because there are now millions of acres of ocean which are dying or dead from the dumping of toxic wastes and therefore have become net consumers of oxygen. So trees, it turns out, are the major source of recycled oxygen for the atmosphere. They are our planet's lungs. A fully grown pine tree or hardwood leaf tree has a leaf surface area that can run from a quarter acre to over 3 acres, depending on the species. And rainforest trees have leaf surface areas that run as high as 40 acres per tree. Trees literally breathe in the carbon dioxide that we exhale through that enormous leaf area, and they exhale it as biological waste called oxygen. Without trees, our atmosphere would become toxic to us. A rainforest tree will also draw 3 million gallons of water up through its roots and release it into the atmosphere as water vapor during its lifetime. This is how trees create weather. While it may seem that this would deplete the soil of water, actually the reverse is true. Trees draw water down into the soil, the first step in a complex cycle that prevents land from becoming desert. Without forest land pumping millions of tons of water into the area's atmosphere, you don't have clouds, you don't have rain, and downwind you have deserts. Are humans unique and separate from nature or part of the natural world? Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay with us. I'll be right back.
When the gas light comes on in your car, do you tap it to try to turn it off? When you get a flat tire, do you drive around hoping it will reinflate? No. But right now, you could be ignoring a battery problem, which is why there's DieHard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. DieHard Express is more than a battery service. It's a complete checkup for your car's electrical system. Our experts will look for common problems, and if it's the battery, we'll install a new DieHard, America's most preferred battery.
DieHard Express. Sears. Good life, great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really? Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our quote from the day for the day from Thomas Paine. I just found this over the weekend, thought it was great. He said, "The accumulation of personal property beyond what a man's own hands produce is derived to him by living in society. And he owes on every principle of justice, of gratitude, and of civilization a part of that accumulation back again to society from whence the whole came." Paine went on to formulate a scheme he called the National Fund to be distributed equally to all citizens, rich or poor, adding, quote, "It will benefit all without injuring any. I consolidate the interest of the republic with that of the individual." Thomas Paine, author of the pamphlet series Common Sense, among other things. Our question, are humans unique and separate from nature or part of the natural world? As of this writing, as of this moment, over 1,500 acres of land are becoming desert worldwide every hour because of the destruction of upwind forests. Another problem relating to deforestation is the loss of drinkable groundwater. Drinkable water falls from the sky as rain and soaks into the ground, but it really doesn't soak very far in. It goes, you know, an inch or so. At deeper levels, the water is often acquired from the soil. Higher concentrations of dissolved minerals, particularly salts. Trees reach deep down into the earth and draw up moisture from just above this salty water and pump it back up into the atmosphere using the minerals to harden the wood of the tree. This removal of water from the soil creates a downward draw into the soil for the fresh water raining down from above, and this circulation keeps the soil healthy. When you cut forests, though, the more saline subterranean water, the salty water and the mineral-filled water way deep down under the earth begins to creep upward, infiltrating into higher and higher levels of soil. When the salty level hits a level, or the salty water hits a level a few yards below the surface, the remaining trees become immune damaged, just like an AIDS patient vulnerable to parasitic infections. We see the results of this in beetle infestations and fungal infections such as rust, which are wiping out trees around the world. When the salty water continues higher and higher and reaches a foot or two below the surface, crops begin to die. And when it hits the surface, the soil becomes incapable of sustaining vegetation. And this is when desertification sets in. To deal with this growing salinity crisis, farmers from California to Europe to Australia have begun installing deep water pumps to remove the salt-contaminated water that the trees would have once drawn down deep below the surface. While this works as a short-term solution, over the long term, it only makes the problem worse because that undesirable water is not being cycled back up into the atmosphere as it would be by a tree, but instead is dumped into waterways where it poisons them on its way to the sea. The result is further downwind desertification as well as the poisoning of rivers and lakes. In addition to this, trees are the only thing that makes topsoil. It takes about 400 years for a tree to make 1 foot of topsoil. All the other plants simply anchor themselves in soil. Only trees reach down and actually break up and pull out the minerals. We also have the concept in the question of are humans unique and separate from nature or part of the natural world of the commons, what Thomas Paine sort of touched on in that quote for the day. The idea that there are things that we all share in common that we must take care of because they're essential to our survival, our fresh water, our pure air. We all have to breathe. And then there's the issue of corporations internalizing profits and externalizing costs. For example, in the Associated Press, developers of oil and gas sites across the country will have at least 2 more years before they're required to get new stormwater permits intended to protect fish, wildlife, and people. A Clinton administration regulation went into effect on Monday, but the Environmental Protection Agency said it's postponing the requirements for the oil and gas industry until March of 2005. In February, five Democrats in the Senate and Senator James Jeffords wrote to Christy Whitman of the EPA saying, "While thousands of small communities struggle, the oil and gas industry gets a break. Denying compliance for one industrial sector is not justified." This is internalizing the profits. They get to make the money from pumping oil and gas, but they lay the costs on us and on our communities. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. I'll return in just a few moments.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
The national unemployment rate for July slipped 0.2 to 6.2%, but it's not due to an improving economy. The Labor Department says the jobless rate fell because 556,000 Americans stopped looking for work. According to federal guidelines, those not actively seeking work are not counted in the unemployment figures.
No strike just yet at Verizon. Talks between the phone giant and its two unions stretched past a strike deadline yesterday and continued without resolution. Nearly 80,000 members of the Communications Workers of America and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers are poised for a walkout unless talks yield an agreement that meets workers' demands on health care and job security. Verizon cut some 18,000 jobs last year, not including 2,300 New York State workers whose terminations were successfully reversed by unions thanks to language in the previous contract that prevented their firing. The two unions are also looking for greater freedom to organize the company's largely non-union wireless and data divisions.
Sugar production is officially no longer a staple of the economy of Trinidad and Tobago. The Caribbean island chain closed its state-owned sugar company last week, laying off more than 8,000 people in the process. The workers received severance payments of about $12,000 each and will be allowed to lease land on which they can continue farming if they wish to.
It was a workhorse that powered travelers through cities and along highways over the last 70 years, but the reign of the Volkswagen Beetle finally came to an end over the weekend. After producing 21.5 million of the vehicles, Volkswagen finally pulled the plug on the last of its Beetle assembly lines in a plant outside of Mexico City. 300 workers will be reassigned to other areas, building Jettas and the more modern version of the Beetle. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Doolittle, to talk to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman program.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman of the IE America Radio Network. We're talking about, are humans unique and separate from nature or part of the natural world? Dr. Andrew Bernstein is a writer, novelist, lecturer, and teacher. He has published on many philosophical and literary issues and lectures regularly on a broad range of topics at American universities. Dr. Bernstein's first novel, Heart of a Pagan, was published in 2002 by Paper Tiger
And he is the author of three Ayn Rand titles for Cliff Notes, Atlas Shrugged, The Fountainhead, and Anthem, and as well as Penguin's Teacher's Guide to the Fountainhead. Dr. Bernstein, welcome back to the Tom Hartman program.
Good to be back, Tom.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming back. I appreciate it. We had a lively conversation last time you were here.
Yeah, on privatizing the educational system, as I recall.
Right. I want to give a plug for your Cliff Note books, by the way. I read, I don't know how much of Atlas Shrugged I actually read when I was in high school. I think I probably got half to two-thirds of the way through it, but, you know, things come up and whatnot. And I went back a few years ago and read the Cliff Notes version just because I wanted to refamiliarize myself with the broad concepts. And your commentaries do a very good job of articulating Ayn Rand's objectivist worldview in the context of the book. I particularly liked the kind of political commentary that you put in there. So it actually was more accessible to me than the novel itself.
Well, thank you, Tom, but I think everybody should read Atlas Shrugged, even if they disagree, even if they just appreciate what a great novel it is, and even if they disagree with Ayn Rand's philosophy.
Yeah, I agree. It's very well written. It's just like it's like 1,000 pages, as I recall, or something.
Yes, it is long and well plotted.
Huge. Yeah. We're talking. You wrote this piece, Environmentalism versus Human Life.
Yes.
In which you said the environmentalist movement is consistently antagonistic to the requirements of human life on Earth. On issue after issue, the environmentalists hold viewpoints that oppose man's survival needs. First of all, how can you put all environmentalists in one neat little package like that?
Well, I think there's a general moral and philosophical point here, and the objection. I think there are many people who might, you know, claim to be environmentalists who don't oppose human life, but I think as a general overall impact in our society, they do, and I think it's a moral point. The point I would make is that human life is an enormous value. Science, technology, medical research, industrialization are tremendously beneficial, and yet on issue after issue, you can see environmentalists repeatedly assailing. Is whether, you know, it's the animal rights activists saying we can't do medical testing on laboratory rats or mice, or whether we ban DDT to kill malaria carrying mosquitoes, or we can't drill in Anwar because of the caribou. There's you know, a lot of issues like that where the environmentalists generally oppose technology, science, medical research, industry, and therefore oppose human life. So I think that's immoral.
Yeah. Well, I would suggest, first of all, the animal stuff is different from the environmental movement, and secondly, that the conclusion that you drew in the end of your comment there, which I don't remember exactly what you said, but I thought, that doesn't make sense. Anyhow, that I would disagree with. There is a paragraph in here I'd like to share with you and with our
sure.
listeners that I think is very well said, and it, in my opinion, it misses, it states part of the issue, and it misses the big issue that Ayn Rand missed, and I think that she missed it because she was the daughter of a man who, you know, I mean, she grew up in Russia, and they lost their business to the Bolshevik Revolution, and so she had seen communism / socialism / whatever that was, and then she came over here to the United States as an immigrant and latched onto this idea of capitalism, and it's clear to me that she never really understood the concept that the founders of this country were working on, which was a democratic, constitutionally constrained republic, as a third way. I mean, she promotes laissez-faire capitalism. She came out of communism, and I just don't find democracy in Atlas Shrugged or in any of her other writings.
Well, we don't support democracy, Tom. We support individual rights.
Yeah, I know. Okay. You said the rational mind is man's greatest resource when it has the freedom to innovate. It finds productive uses for every substance on Earth, including waste byproducts. Automobiles currently require gasoline. It's true, just as sailing ships required wood and canvas, and horses required hay and oats. What will be the transportation vehicles of the future, and what energy source will power them? Today, nobody could predict it. Just as in 1700, nobody could predict automobiles, jet travel, nuclear-powered ships, or manned missions to the moon. One prediction, however, is a certainty. If men possess the political economic freedom provided by capitalism, then the innovations of the future will dwarf such recent advances as electrical power, television, rocketry, and computer technology. And I want to say, you know, right from the outset, that I share your optimistic viewpoint.
Good.
I think that Julian Simon made some great points when he suggested that the greatest capital, one of the greatest capitals that is unrecognized that we have is human intelligence, intellect,
absolutely,
our ability to innovate. But where I part company with you is you say when the rational mind is man's greatest resource, when it has the freedom to innovate, it finds productive uses for every substance on Earth. And I would add two words to that that you don't, and that is and incentive. And this is where, for example, you know, you're in favor of drilling for oil in Anwar. If we were to simply raise the CAFE standards, the fleet mileage standards on all automobiles in the United States by 3 miles per gallon, we would save an amount of oil equal to all of the oil in Anwar, and we would reduce the air that we all breathe, the pollution load in it. Now, what's wrong with that?
I don't follow the proposal. What did you want to do?
The CAFE standard. There's a standard that every automaker has to conform to that their fleet mileage, that is all the aggregate mileage of all the cars that they manufacture, has to hit a certain threshold. I think right now it's like 38 miles per gallon. And auto manufacturers, and if they exceed that, then there are financial penalties to them. And if they make that, then there are financial rewards to them. So they're incentivized by the government to do that, by we the people in this Democratic
Republic.
Well,
I don't believe, and Ayn Rand certainly didn't believe, that the proper role of the government is to tell auto manufacturers or automobile drivers how many miles a gallon, you know, their automobiles get. The advances in automobile technology are made possible by the research and development done by the capitalist companies here, and that's what enables us to have automobiles and to have oil and to get more gas mileage from our cars. So I think the premise is false. The government has no role dictating to consumers or to the automobile companies how many miles per gallon their automobiles have to get.
In the energy bill that was just proposed by the Senate, there is $16.7 billion in cash. This is not just tax break. This is not tax breaks. This is credits. Hand you cash, whether you make money or not, whether you pay taxes or not. In cash, $16.7 billion being given to oil companies. I mean, back when George Bush had Harkin Oil, this is primarily how they made money. Was on these, you know, corporate welfare checks from the government to incentivize them to, quote, produce, end quote. Actually, they're pumping it up out of the ground. Nobody's producing it. It was produced by bacteria 400 million years ago. Oil. And so it's creating this disparity in the marketplace. Why not equally provide an incentive? Or are you suggesting the government shouldn't be doing either one? I'm assuming
exactly.
that's your position.
The government should simply get out of the economy. The only role in a laissez-faire system that Ayn Rand advocated for the government is to enforce the criminal justice system. So if somebody, let's say, for instance, somebody like Ken Lay in a different field, but let's say he was guilty of fraud, which certainly looks to me like he was, he should go to jail. Fraud is a crime. It should be a crime. And anybody who initiates force or fraud against innocent victims should go to jail, whether they're a wealthy businessman, whether they're a politician, or whether they're an average Joe. So, I mean, that's the role of the government. Other than that, get the hell out of the way. Let the energy companies produce oil, natural gas, build nuclear power plants, and we will not have any energy shortages in this country.
But you're contradicting yourself. Why should fraud be a crime if you have a situation where it's let the buyer beware? I mean, if the energy company, if the car companies and the energy companies can get together and squeeze dollars out of the government and pollute the air and drill for oil on an unlimited basis, perhaps against the will of the majority of the people, because you're not in agreement with democracy, simply because they can, because they have the economic power to do it, then if somebody can defraud somebody simply because they can, they have the economic power to do it, why shouldn't they be allowed to?
Yeah, but
Isn't that a form of fraud?
My point is that individuals have rights. That's why I'm against democracy. Democracy means unlimited majority rule. It's a type of dictatorship. If the majority doesn't like my religious views or lack of them or my political views, they could put me in jail, exile me, or even kill me. The point, where I agree with you from before, is the founding fathers of this country believe in individual rights. So if the oil company is going to produce oil, they don't do it just because they can. They buy the land, They don't steal it. They buy the land. They produce the oil. They sell it on the marketplace. The customers buy it. Clearly, the customers approve of their activities. Fraud is the violation of individuals' rights, just like if I pull a gun on somebody. Fraud is stealing their money. It's theft. It's a violation of the rights of the victim. So certainly I'm against fraud. And by the way, I'm also against corporate bailouts for the same reason. The government shouldn't be stealing money from us to finance a company that is not productive. If a company's losing money, it's because the customers don't value its products. Let it go out of business. And the corporate bailouts is a form of welfare. We're opposed to that.
Right. Our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. If you'd like to talk to Andrew Bernstein, this is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, and it is 16 minutes before the hour, or 44 after. In our chat room, former Rush fan says, let the buyer be aware. The problem with this guy's points is a matter of disclosure. The fact is that Ayn Rand's philosophies would work in an environment of openness and honesty. The guest suggests that consumerism should prevail, but how can someone shopping for a car make a proper decision if Ford doesn't tell us that its pintos can easily blow up? If Ford disclosed such information, then this fellow's point would be valid. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, the minor point is the premise is wrong. I mean, the Pinto was a great car, and it was... I owned a Pinto, and the campaign against that was dishonest. But the point, of course, is if somebody puts out a car that blows up, that's a criminal action. He's going to, or at the very least, he's opening himself to a civil lawsuit, which will cost him millions of dollars. Companies that do that are not only going to end up people going to jail, they're going to lose a lot of money and go out of business. So the best protection for the customers is competition on an open marketplace. Ford is in competition with, all the other automobile manufacturers. They kill their customers. That's the quickest way to go out of business. So the premise is wrong. It's competition on an open marketplace that is the best protection of the customer's rights.
Well, I would suggest that works if the open marketplace is a small enough community that everybody knows everybody. For example, I live in a town of 9,000 people here in Montpelier, Vermont. If there's a bad doctor in town, everybody knows it.
Right.
If there's somebody in town who's selling, contaminated chicken or something, everybody knows it.
Right.
But if that bad doctor goes to New York City, then he can victimize people for years and make a fortune. I mean, if somebody goes to New York City and starts selling stuff, they can clean up and kill off their customers all along the way. And it's certainly happened many times in the past. Doesn't government play a role in protecting us, we the people? Isn't government us, and don't we play a role in protecting ourselves against these sorts of situations?
Well, of course. I mean, that's why you have a civil court system, Tom, and a criminal court system, which Ayn Rand certainly advocates. So if somebody's is defrauding their customers, he's claiming to have knowledge he doesn't have, he's claiming to have a medical degree he doesn't have, that's fraud. He should go to jail. If he kills somebody because of negligence, again, at the very least, he's opening himself up to enormous civil damage suits. Certainly the government has a role in this to protect the rights of the individual. That's the way the rights are protected, is through the court system. If somebody's rights are violated, the perpetrator goes to jail or should go to jail.
But that requires laws to have been passed that would protect those people or that would define the thresholds. I mean, what's the threshold between a Pinto being deadly and a car that explodes 10% more easily than a Pinto being deadly? I mean, at some point, you have to, and because you said you're against democracy, at some point you have to have in a democratic, that is a place where people vote, constitutionally limited republic like we have, you have to have the ability to say these are the definitions.
Yeah, absolutely. And you understand we don't have a democracy, right? Well, thank God. We have a constitutional republic, so individuals' rights are respected.
We have a democratic constitutional republic. There have been constitutional republics before where people did not vote for their elected officials. We vote for elected officials, which makes this a democratic constitutional republic.
And people voting is fine. I have no problem with that. But the fundamental principle that makes us free is not voting. I mean, we could vote in a Hitler or a Stalin, for God's sake. What makes us free is the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which guarantees freedom of speech, freedom of religion, etc. But to get back to your point, like I said, if a company or an individual on an open marketplace of competition is putting out a product that harms his customers, at the very least, what do they say? Word of mouth is the best advertising, and well, word of mouth is also the worst advertising.
Yeah, I got your point.
Even if you don't go to jail.
Yeah, let's get back to this environmental thing because we don't have much time here left for the program. What about the concept of the commons? We all breathe the same air. Shouldn't we be entitled to protect ourselves?
Well, can I make a practical point first?
Sure.
Because, the air in the United States, according to the research I've done, was getting cleaner long before, going back to the 1930s, long before the passage of the Clean Air and Water Act in 1970, based on advances in technology, based on the fact that we were moving towards cleaner burning fuels like oil and gas, away from coal and wood.
But we still have a third of us dying, getting cancer in our lifetimes, and that's way off the scale from people who don't live in industrialized societies. So clearly our environment, that is our commons, is providing us with toxins that are not to our benefit. Shouldn't we be paying attention to that?
Well, I'll get to the commons in just a second, but Tom, the life expectancy in the industrialized countries is rising. It's pushing 80 now, way beyond what it is in the non-industrialized countries, and cancer to a significant degree is an old person's disease. So that's a big reason for the rise in cancer. But the commons...
Childhood cancer has exploded in the last two decades. I don't know if you've noticed the statistics, but childhood cancers have doubled in the last 20 years in
the
United States.
Well, I'd want to see the research on that. But nevertheless, the life expectancy in the industrialized countries continues to rise. And if we had a laissez-faire system and the government allowed the biotech companies freedom to research stem cell research, we could double that life expectancy again as we've doubled it in the last 200 years. But the commons is a problem, Tom, because when
Dr. Bernstein, we're going to have to pick this up on the other side of the break. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're talking to Dr. Andrew Bernstein. Be back in just a few moments.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Can we hope to achieve real progress while corporations wield control over our government and many civic institutions? At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we believe revoking illegitimate corporate power is a prerequisite for making genuine progress on the issues that affect us all. If you'd like to help restore citizen authority over corporations, get involved. Visit us at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day. Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual position.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kid. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good, the bad, and the ugly. I guess we've got me and Andrew Bernstein and Brian on the phone, and we'll let you all sort out which is which. I just don't know. Dr. Bernstein was going to comment about the commons. We only have about 3 minutes left in the hour here, and Brian in Santa Fe is on the line with a question for you, Dr. Bernstein. So we'll let Brian ask his question, and then you can answer his question and comment on the commons, and that's going to wrap up the show. We'll let you have the last word, if that's all right.
Thank you.
So, Brian, welcome to the program. Your question for Dr. Bernstein.
Well, it's more of a statement, but I can make it into a question.
Okay.
I seriously doubt that Dr. Bernstein understands the concept of environmentalism as a practice, in that it absolutely does not disallow humanity in the equation of what happens on this earth. It merely tries to control bad behavior or destructive behavior. Dr. Bernstein, if your concept of what environmentalism is correct, then without environmentalism, would you not agree that basically what we would end up with is a paved over, completely depleted energy supply, dwindled, crusted, withered earth? If the free market
absolutely
just goes.
Disagree. Are you done, Brian? Absolutely disagree.
Yeah, thanks for the quick comment and question, Brian.
Just to take one point, energy depletion is a myth. As Julian Simon pointed out, and Ayn Rand even more so, the human mind is the greatest resource, and we can find uses for everything on Earth, including, for instance, we use sand, ordinary sand, for fiber optic cable. So we're never going to run out of resources as long as the human mind is free. But to get back to your point about the commons, Tom, the best way to protect ourselves from pollution is by property rights. If somebody pollutes the water that runs through my property or my property, then he should be legally responsible for cleaning it up. And the air pollution has been improving for decades because of advances in technology. Leave the human mind free in the laissez-faire system,
been
and
improving
we will protect
because
human
of
life. That's why life expectancy is right.
It's been improving because of advances in our legal system that says that corporations cannot continue to externalize their costs.
No, it goes back long before this kind of legislation, the air pollution has been improving. And in a free society, if some corporation or some individual, or the government for that matter, is polluting our environment, then what that does, well, let me leave out the government for a second.
Well, we're out of time here, Dr. Bernstein. I think you've made your point, and I appreciate it. You can read more of his work at www.aynrand.org. And this is the Tom Hartman Program. Stick around. We'll be back after the top of the hour. Thank you, Dr. Bernstein, very much for being on the program. I appreciate it.
Coming from a field that isn't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens and
been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. Secretary of State Colin Powell could be ready to call it quits. The Washington Post cites sources as saying he and his deputy Richard Armitage will leave the State Department even if President Bush wins re-election in 2004. The paper reported Armitage told National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice that he and Powell would leave one day after the next presidential inauguration. Rice and Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz are said to be the leading candidates to replace Powell. Army medical teams continue investigating a pneumonia-like illness that has killed two U.S. soldiers in Iraq. On NBC's Today Show, Colonel Robert DeFrades played down concerns about biological or chemical agents that may have been part of an illicit weapons program in Iraq.
The good news is that's one thing we are sure that we're not dealing with. There's no sign of any anthrax or any other biological agents in the cases that we've investigated so far.
DeFrades also noted, however, that it's early in the investigation and nothing has been ruled out. He added that dozens of other soldiers have been stricken, but most are recovering. About 80,000 Verizon employees from Maine to Virginia continue to work today without a contract. Negotiations between the company and union representatives are underway, even though a strike deadline has long passed. The workers want more job security and lower health care costs. Union officials say the workers are ready to go on strike if talks collapse. Two people in a Learjet died today when their plane went down in Groton, Connecticut. The aircraft hit three houses as it crashed into a nearby river. Reporter Marty Hosberger has more details on the crash.
Emergency officials got the call at about 6:40 this morning. The plane supposedly was trying to land initially at the airport. For some reason did not, was circling around and trying to land once again on a second approach.
No one on the ground was killed. One woman received minor injuries when she jumped from her house after it caught fire. The crash investigation is underway.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like... doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking... you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
California Governor Gray Davis is reportedly going to the state's highest court today, hoping to push back the date of a recall election. Right now, it's scheduled for October 7th. The Los Angeles Times reports Davis will ask the court to delay the recall until March. The lawsuit also asks for big changes in the way votes are cast. Chocolate spread company Nutella has ended its ad campaign that includes Kobe Bryant, but says the decision was made before he was charged with sexually assaulting a 19-year-old Colorado woman. Over the weekend, Bryant was named favorite male athlete at the 2003 Teen Choice Awards.
Mom,
Dad?
Someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
American children are continuing to get fatter, and the American Academy of Pediatrics says it's time for pediatricians to join the battle of the bulge. The AAP says pediatricians can urge parents to limit TV watching to 2 hours a day and encourage healthy snacks. One out of seven kids in the U.S. is overweight. It's been 111 years since Lizzie Borden took an axe. On this day in 1892, the infamous axe murders of Andrew and Abby Borden took place in Fall River, Massachusetts. A jury acquitted Lizzie Borden of the brutal murders of her father and stepmother, but the legend of the spinster who was long thought to be the true murderer lives on in the books, internet chat rooms, and case studies. A California woman returned two books to the library of Salt Lake City, Utah over the weekend, but they were late, seriously late. They had been checked out during the Calvin Coolidge administration back in 1927. There were no penalties, but if the old system of 2 cents a day were in effect, the books would have racked up over $1,000 in fines. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Wow, what a brain! No, I'm not talking about the class valedictorian or the scarecrow after he reached Oz. This brain's inside your car. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first, until we tested 6 tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today, or visit tornadoair.com. Einstein's got nothing on your car's ECM, or electronic control module. Like human brains, ECMs gather data from the environment and make adjustments to optimize performance. For example, this onboard computer adapts fuel delivery, seat positions, cabin temperature, braking, and emissions. It also alerts you to potential problems and notifies you for service. Like all brains, your ECM's sensitive to environmental abuse. So follow the scarecrow's lead. Take your ECM for scheduled service to the Oz, service center of your choice. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite system, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, and broadcasting live on radiopower.org, which is doing a fundraising drive right now, and whiterosesociety.org archives the show, as well as ieamericaradio.com. Our quote for the day from Thomas Paine: the accumulation of personal property beyond what a man's own hands produce is derived to him by living in society, and he owes on every principle of justice, of gratitude, and of civilization a part of that accumulation back again to society from whence the whole came. Quote, end quote. The Fed, so let's just go through some of the news here. By the way, if you want to call in, if you want to carry on the conversation, Dr. Bernstein is gone, but if you wanted to discuss the whole thing about is environmentalism anti-objectivist, I guess, or any of those topics, feel free to call 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. or if there's anything else you'd like to talk about in this hour, I just want to cover the news. We get so far behind on this stuff, and I think it's important to catch up. There was a fascinating article, and I hope to get into this in the next hour with Robert Reich, the former Clinton administration official who really knows economics. There's a fascinating article in the Financial Times, the British equivalent of the Wall Street Journal, last week. And it was by Shen Zhao, who is a chief, the writer is chief emerging markets strategist at Bank Credit Analyst Research Group. And he suggests that we are dancing a very, very dangerous dance. Well, actually, his phrase, he said, the Fed is in a dangerous game with China. And what's dangerous about this, according to this article, and it led me on a, you know, reading this, you get the, one of these light bulb moments, and it led me off on digging into some other areas and trying to better understand this situation, and into the area of the bond market collapsing. It's really interesting that this article came out when it did last Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday, and today's Wall Street Journal, if you go to the front page of the second section, it's all about how the bond market collapsed last week on Thursday and Friday, right after this article appeared. And what he suggests in this, I'm assuming it's a he, is that that what's happened is that, well, he I'll share with you some of his actual writing. He says, China is a silent but active partner in the Fed's pump priming. Now, by pump priming, we're talking about trying to improve the economy of the United States quickly enough that it'll benefit George W. Bush in the next election. He says it would not be possible for U.S. Treasury bond yields to be at current levels were China not a willing and able supplier of savings to the United States. Now, what he means by this is that the bond yields are low right now, which keeps interest rates low. And because home mortgage rates are based on government treasury note and treasury bond rates, if those rates are low, if home mortgage rates are low, then people can actually take money out of the homes that they own, you know, through refinancing and spend that money. And therefore, also, the value of houses goes up, of property goes up, because people tend to think in terms of property in terms of not what it's actually worth, but what it costs on a per-month basis if they're paying a mortgage. And so if interest rates go from 5% to 4%, you've got a 20% drop in interest, more or less, there. And that's, people can either pay that much more in principal, but what most people do is actually they take that money and they spend it. And there's a whole body of economists out there who are pretty unequivocally and in unison saying that over the last 3 years, while we've lost 3 million jobs in this economy and the stock market's gone into the tank, the only thing that has kept us from crashing into something much worse has been that mortgage rates have been so low that people have been able to live off their houses, basically. They're refinancing, and we've seen this just explosion in this, to extract the equity from their homes, and then they spend that. They're living on it. They're spending, and that's been driving consumer spending. Now, when bond yields go back up again, that is, the amount of interest that the government has to pay people to buy its bonds goes up, then mortgage rates go up. And when mortgage rates go up, payments go up on monthly mortgage payments, for those people with adjustable rate mortgages, and for people trying to refinance, the rates go up. And what that does is it drives the value of homes down. So you see a crash in the bubble, the housing bubble, okay? So it's this kind of very delicate equilibrium. And one of the things, there's basically two things that determine the yield of treasury bills and treasury bonds, at least in my understanding of this. I want to ask Reich about this next hour. One is what the Fed sets the prime rate at. And it's down to, you know, like a half a point or thereabouts. And so, you know, that kind of leads the trend. But the bigger thing that determines how much interest the federal government has to pay on its treasury bills is whether or not there are people willing to buy them. It's very simple. It's a market. The government says, okay, we're going to go out and we're going to borrow some money. George Bush passes, you know, $1 trillion worth of tax cuts in the last 3 years. Well, actually, almost $2 trillion in tax cuts in the last 3 years. And throwing the government into a huge deficit, plus we've got this war and all this additional spending, plus all these, you know, billions we're giving to oil companies and on and on and on. And so we've got to borrow money to pay for this in order to continue running the government. And so the way that we borrow money is we issue IOUs called Treasury bills and Treasury bonds. And people buy these things and they say, okay, well, how much interest are you offering? And the government says, well, we're offering 3% right now. And if somebody says, okay, cool, I'll give you my money and you pay me 3%, then a transaction happens. But if everybody says, no, I don't think I want to buy it at 3%, then the government has to say, well, how about 3.25%? People say, well, no, I don't, you know, maybe I'll buy $1 million, but I'm not going to buy $1 billion worth of bonds at 3.75%. So then the government has to say, well, how about 3.5%? And so there has to be people out there willing to buy these things generously, aggressively, interestedly, willing to buy them in order to keep those rates down. And when people stop buying them, or other countries stop buying them, then the rates have to go up because the government has to offer more and more. They have to sweeten the pot in order to people get people to buy their debt, to loan us money. I mean, it's money that your children and mine are going to have to repay. And we're going to have to repay. I mean, right now, payment on the debt is the second largest expense in the U.S. budget behind defense. But anyhow, so he says, China is a silent but active partner in the Fed's pump priming. It would not be possible for U.S. Treasury bond yields to be at current levels were China not to be not a willing and able supplier of savings to the U.S. So in other words, the Chinese are taking their savings and they're buying U.S. Treasury bonds with it and T-bills. Combined annual purchases of Treasury securities from China and Hong Kong have reached $290 billion, more than those by any other creditor nation. In other words, not only are we going into debt, and deeply and quickly, but we're going into debt to China. The flow of Chinese savings, this article says, has enabled Americans to borrow more and spend more. As the Chinese are sending their savings over here, keeping our interest rates low, keeping our government afloat, and therefore we're able to borrow more and spend more. At the same time, he points out, China's exports to the U.S. jumped 35% in the first quarter of this year compared with just last year. The trade deficit with China has reached $110 billion, bigger than any other country. What that means is that we're buying $110 billion a year worth of more stuff, more from China than we are selling to them. And he says, this game of trading goods for paper creates a hyper-stimulative environment for both countries' economies. In other words, it's creating a bubble. And then he says, which authorities on both sides of the Pacific want. George W. wants a bubble as long as it pops after 2004, because it'll help him get reelected. And the Chinese want a bubble because, you know, it makes good times for them. They have similar domestic problems. He says, nevertheless, trading goods for paper works only up to a point. It creates enormous economic and financial distortions. They're both self-limiting and self-defeating. He says, there has never been a nation that has been able to increase its reliance on foreign savings without eventually hitting a brick wall. This is what happened to Germany in the 1920s. So he says, and part of the problem is that China is accumulating inflationary pressure with this thing of trading goods for paper, for IOUs. So he says, when will the party come to the end? When the Chinese have had enough. We're reading from the article, The Fed is in a Dangerous Game with China by Chen Zhao. When the Chinese have had enough in the Financial Times, that will happen when inflation in China approaches 3-4%, which it could do within the next 6 months or so. At that point, the central bank will be forced to revalue the currency. And he says, this could produce a vicious shakeout in treasury prices, which could be deflationary for China, but inflationary for the U.S. In other words, interest rates go up, the inflation starts going up, the value of our currency goes down. We are in deep trouble. He says a further surge in bond yields. Keep in mind this happened before this last Thursday's meltdown in the bond market. A further surge in bond yields could mark the start of the long-foreseen demise of U.S. consumer spending and damage the U.S. economy. This is a very, very delicate thing that's happening. A very delicate thing. And today, the Wall Street Journal, the headline here, the bond market slams on the brakes. 21 years, 8 months, 2 weeks, 2 days. Thus marks the end of what many are saying could be the end of a remarkable two-decade run in the U.S. bond market. The price decline was the most rapid bond sell-off ever. And they just, you know, translates into a loss of nearly 10% for investors in the 10-year treasury and 15% fall for holders of the 30-year bond. Because, see, what happens is as the amount that bonds pay goes up, the price of bonds in the secondary market goes down proportionally. So people who are holding bonds that they intend to resell before they expire, they're not just, you know, earning the interest on them, they're speculating in them, are losing money big time. And this is a very dangerous thing. Afghans on the edge of chaos, another interesting story. Afghanistan is spiraling out of control and risks becoming a narco-mafia state. We'll dig into that a little bit as soon as we come back from this break. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Here's a belated salute to the good people of Stevens County, Washington. Last year, a bunch of the wealthier landlords in this largely low-income area popped up with a referendum to eliminate the 9 libraries that are part of the county's rural library district. The instigators, many of them part of anti-tax organizations, claimed that citizens were being overtaxed. But the real issue was not taxes, but the very idea of public service. For example, Hank Radesky, a rancher and staunch opponent of the library district, grumped that, as a matter of principle, there should not be public libraries. I don't depend on anyone else to educate me. If I want a book, I go buy it. And Dave Sittler, a prominent landlord and realtor, growls that the taxes he was assessed are, quote, wasted on something we don't need. We? Ask Leland Reich about that. He has 6 kids and says, I can't imagine what we'd do without the library. They've got everything we need here, and if they don't, they'll get it for us. Or ask Terry Charbonneau, who owns the Onion Creek General Store and gladly houses one of the district's libraries there in her store. This is something that helps our whole community, She notes that lots of folks in the area don't have computers and can't afford to buy literature, even from discount booksellers. It's special that they can come in here and get books, she says. Or ask Regan Robinson, director of the library system, who says of the anti-taxers, "I'd like to see them face the women I see with three kids and a stack of books and tell them they can't have a library anymore." This is Jim Hightower saying, it turns out that there are a lot more library supporters than tax grumps in Stevens County. Last November, the people there voted 2-1 to keep their libraries going. As one resident put it, "We stood up for the common good." Way to go, Stevens County! To get more information on how to support your library, call the American Library Association, 1-800-545-2433.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thomas Jefferson, in a letter to James Curry in January 28th, said, "Our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. This is the last remnant of the free press." The IE America Radio Network here, broadcasting the truth from coast to coast. Afghans on the edge of chaos. Afghanistan is spiraling out of control. According to the Los Angeles Times article in the Los Angeles Times by Robin Dixon, "As opium production and banditry soar, the country is at risk of anarchy," some warn, "and could allow a Taliban resurgence. It risks becoming a narco-mafia state. Already the signs are there: a boom in opium production, rampant banditry, and huge swaths of territory unsafe for Western aid workers. The central government has almost no power over regional warlords who control roads and extort money from truck drivers, choking commerce and trade. The security vacuum outside Kabul has emboldened Taliban fighters, who constitute the bulk of anti-government militants. The Taliban is back. The Taliban rebels offer local people good salaries, more than $100 a month." Well, with their money from Saudi Arabia, no doubt. "To fight while Khalik grumbled that he and his men are not being paid at all." These are the guys in the Afghan army that we're supposedly funding. Afghanistan's severe budgetary problems are leaving many civil servants unpaid. In Afghanistan, U.S. forces have not suffered the steady casualties borne by the much larger force in Iraq, but anti-government militants in recent months have killed aid workers, attacked mine clearers, and burned girls' schools. And the Kabul to Kandahar road, it can take 14 hours on a taxi, it can take 2 days in a truck. This should be a six-hour ride. And taxi drivers working the road daily tell the hair-raising tales of armed attacks by thieves and bandits. Afghanistan is in a big mess. Big mess. And is this what might happen in Iraq? I don't know. I have a feeling we're going to put more money into Iraq. They've got oil to pump out. All Afghanistan had was a strategic pipeline opportunity, which it looks like is not being taken. Although, you know, it's funny, I haven't heard anything about that. And it was back in 97 or 98, I believe, that Cheney was trying to negotiate a pipeline across Afghanistan with the Taliban. And those negotiations fell apart. And it'd be interesting to follow up on that. Maybe if any of our regular listeners have a good scoop, drop into our chat room or send me an email or pop onto our bulletin board, TomHartmanShow.com, and leave a message and we'll follow up on it. By the way, one of the folks on our message board or on our in our chat room here, which you can find at TomHartmanShow.com, just click the chat links and it'll take you there, said that the CAFE standard, the auto efficiency, the auto gas mileage standards, that I had mentioned in my discussion with Bernstein, I think I said something like 37 miles per gallon. It's 27.5 for automobiles and 20.7 for light trucks. And the real kicker, this is the real kicker, is that if any vehicle weighs over 6,000 pounds, it's not considered in these things. And, you know, I mentioned this before. It's worth repeating. I first came up against this. We owned a business in Atlanta 8 or 10 years ago, and my CPA called up and said, the company has made a profit. It's the end of the year. We've got to figure out a way, blah, 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 blah. And he said, if you buy a vehicle, a car, that weighs more than 6,000 pounds, then the government doesn't consider it a car. And instead of deducting $2,000 from your taxes this year for buying it, you can deduct $17,500. My recollection is that the last tax bill raised that to $100,000, although I may be wrong on that, but raised that substantially above $17,500. But back then, if a small business bought an SUV, they got a $17,500 tax deduction in that same year. And there's a lot of people with small businesses out there, and that's what really got this whole SUV thing rolling. And one of the things that's really helping it. Here with the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find AMIBA online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
People are obscuring the light of the stars that once guided human civilization. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The stars in the night sky have guided people for thousands of years. Sailors navigated by the North Star across vast oceans, and philosophers once used the movement of constellations below the horizon to argue that the Earth was round. But it's increasingly difficult to see some of those stars today because they're hidden by artificial light from cities. Dan Green is an astronomer with the Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, and he's trying to raise public awareness about the extensive use of artificial lights at night. Green says astronomers find it increasingly difficult to use the night sky to teach students about the stars. He says that's true even for academic institutions that have their own observatories.
So anyone who has an observatory at a school or college or university level can tell you that things have really gone downhill in the last couple of decades in terms of the night sky getting so bright that it's hard to show people things beyond the sun and the moon and the bright planets.
Green says streetlights and other light fixtures obscure the stars at night the way the sun hides the stars in the daytime.
If you put up one or two really bad lights that are not shielded, it's amazing how many miles the glow from that can carry. So we're hoping that through educating people, they'll understand that it's important to keep our nighttime heritage and that our children need to grow up learning about the night sky. It's in everybody's benefit if people can actually see stars at night.
Green hopes that people will start using more light fixtures with shields. He says they can cut lighting costs and bring back the evening sky at the same time. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and Shar, our engineer in Detroit, mentioned during the break that she has told her friends about this tax break, SUV tax break, and nobody believes it. It is pretty amazing. It's pretty mind-boggling. Here's how it works. Excuse me. It's called Section 129. It's called a, or 179. It's called a Section 179 expense. And this is from a Q&A section. The Section 179 expense for cars, a rule that normally allows you to expense up to $20,000 of certain costs immediately rather than depreciating them over time, is limited. This was in 2000. Now this isn't the most current information. Is limited to $3,060. But it was $20,000 in 2000. It was $17,500 back when we did it. And as I said, I remember reading in the paper that in the new tax bill that was just passed, they kicked that. There was proposed to kick that up to $100,000. I don't know if that got passed or not. And we have to. I'm going to have to track that down. I'll call our CPA or something. But it's called Section 179. That's the magic phrase. And the way it works is that it. This is not something that individual citizens can get. That you and I can get. It's only available for businesses. And the reality is that there are tens of millions of small businesses in America. Every dentist in this country, every doctor in this country, every CPA in this country, they're privately incorporated. They're personally incorporated. They're running a small business. I have a personal corporation that I run my writing income through. There's just all kinds of little tiny corporations, aside from the businesses that you see on the average street. And you know, it only costs $300-$400 a year to create a corporation and maintain a corporation. So if you create a corporation, a lot of freelancers, consultants, more and more people are being, my brother had an opportunity to leave his employment with the state of Michigan, and be rehired as a consultant. And at a much higher wage, but the state then didn't have to pay for, you know, the long-term stuff, you know, pensions and things like that. So he created a corporation to run the income through. So anyhow, if you have a private company, then you can take this $20,000 or more deduction if you buy a vehicle that's over 6,000 pounds. If it weighs more than 6,000 pounds, it falls into the category, under the IRS law, of dump trucks and earth movers, and it's called equipment rather than vehicle. And that's how it works. Berlusconi alert. Silvio Berlusconi in the news over this last week. This from the Financial Times of London. Silvio Berlusconi sometimes give the impression that he enjoys as close to absolute power as it's possible to get in contemporary Western Europe. The expansive Italian prime minister's ability to maintain his near monopoly over Italian broadcasting, to browbeat the judiciary, and to use his parliamentary majority to grant himself legal immunity all suggest a leader who's writ far exceeds that of his European peers. Yes, yeah, surprise, surprise. This is from an editorial, actually, in the Financial Times, in which they're basically taking Berlusconi to task. And this alleged tax fraud at Mr. Berlusconi's Mediaset TV group suggests his critics were suffering. Berlusconi suggested that his critics were suffering from a heat wave sweeping Europe. He just makes fun of people when they go after him. He says, they just have a heat wave, or, this guy should have been a prison guard in a Nazi camp, or whatever. But it looks like the inquiry is going to go ahead, or no, I take that back. The Financial Times is saying that the inquiry should go ahead in this editorial. Today's Wall Street Journal, at Chevron Texaco, gasoline prices propel net income. Chevron Texaco Corporation said higher gasoline prices helped, who says war isn't profitable, helped second quarter profit quadruple over a year earlier when results were weighed down by write-downs of an ill-fated investment in energy trader Dynergy. Chevron Texaco, fourfold increase in profits. Here's another this is another example of how this administration has just absolutely sold out to the big corporations. I mean, it's like Karl Rove is out there pimping for George W. It's today's New York Times front page article: healthcare Medicare drug bill held up by dispute on discount cards. And remember back in July of 2001, before 9/11, George Bush gets up, makes a speech, and he says, quote, "We will provide seniors with a drug discount card that saves them 10 to 25% off the cost of all drugs, so they'll start seeing savings immediately." So the Senate and the House got to work and put together a bill to make this happen. And the administration doesn't like either the Senate or the House version. And here are their objections. The administration opposed a provision, a reading from the New York Times, the administration opposed a provision of the Senate bill that guarantees a minimum discount of 20%. Congress should not specify the amount of the discount, the administration said. Even though George W. did specify an amount in his speech, he says, leave it up to the companies. If they want to make it only a 1% discount, that's fine. We shouldn't specify the amount. They point out, by the way, that the discount cards are important for political reasons as well. They would provide tangible aid to elderly voters before the 2004 election. Now, here's the gotcha in that. The administration does want to have a discount card, but they don't want it right away. They want this thing to wait. Looking for the little piece on this here. We'll get to it. Anyhow, the Bush administration is urging Congress to kill a provision of the Senate bill that says drug prices charged to cardholders could not be increased more than once every 60 days. So you have to wait 2 months to raise prices to people. Oh, no, that's that. We don't want that. We, you know, let them raise the prices every day if they want. That 2 months is too much for them. The administration also objected to a provision of the House bill that requires drug card sponsors to provide counseling and other assistance to people taking multiple drugs for chronic diseases. In other words, the House bill says if you buy your drugs with this discount drug card, the pharmacist still has to tell you if he's selling you drugs that might interact with each other in a way that could kill you. The administration's saying, oh, well, if the pharmacist is going to talk to you, he should be able to charge for that. Now, right now, he doesn't charge for that, because right now, he's making more money because there's no discount. Such medication therapy management programs, quote, are expensive and will severely inhibit private sector participation, the administration said. Quote, deleting this provision is critical to the success of the program, end quote. And they further said that pharmacy counseling is an expensive prospect. And they're suggesting pharmacies would charge for basic counseling services. Members of Congress, the Senate bill requires that all discounts and rebates be passed on to Medicare beneficiaries. The administration objected to this requirement. In other words, anytime a pharmacy gets a discount on drugs, that they pass that along to Medicare beneficiaries. The administration objected to this requirement, saying it, quote, could hurt the business case for card sponsors to participate in this program, end quote. The House bill doesn't have that thing in it, and the administration says that they prefer that because it allows card sponsors to, quote, use some of these dollars for administrative costs and profits, the administration told Congress. Under both the bills, there would be an independent committee of doctors, pharmacists, and other experts who would decide which drugs qualify for the discounts. Consumer activists, consumer advocates, doctors, and pharmacists, reading from the New York Times now, say such committees ensure that decisions will be based on medical evidence, not just cost. But the Bush administration said it saw no need to require such committees. And finally, the House bill says the government shall begin the drug card program within 90 days after it's signed into law. But the administration wants them to wait 6 months after it's signed into law. In other words, they want this thing to go into effect months before the 2004 election, but not so far in advance of the 2004 election that people figure out that it's a scam, but close enough to the election that people do get some discounts and go, hey, this is cool. George did something for me. Is Hillary going to step into the fray? I know this is the favorite. Hillary is the favorite whipping. Whipping girl of the right. You know, I'm sure Limbaugh is probably ranting about her right now. But at a confab of liberal lawyers last week, this in today's Wall Street Journal, an op-ed piece by Robert Bartley, Thinking Things Over. Mrs. Clinton made an intriguing comment that the depredations of the Bush administration, quote, can no longer be observed from the sidelines, end quote. One-time inside advisor Dick Morris has predicted she'll run this year if Bush's approval rating dips below 50%. It dropped to 56% just a couple of days ago, down from 62% in May. And now they're suggesting that the president's probably turned a corner with the capture of Saddam's sons in Iraq and the GDP going up. But they're saying, watching Mr. Dean's surge in the primary, Senator Clinton may have to rethink her preference for delaying a presidential bid until 2008 to run against Governor Jeb Bush. Interesting. Of course, you know, who knows? It really could change things. Really could change things. China's getting their missiles quicker. China is acquiring short-range missiles. Now, keep in mind, I had intended to read this back-to-back with the story about China supporting our bond market. Because China's buying our debt. China is enabling George W. to run up deficits. He couldn't do it if they didn't buy the bonds and the bills, the T-bills. And, you know, at some point they may decide not to. In fact, they almost certainly will. And then the interest rates will really go through the roof. And we'll have a terrible mess here. The mess that everybody talks about when they talk about the dangers of rising debt, of spending more than you're bringing in. But at the same time, what are they doing with the profits that we're giving them, the interest payments that we're paying to them for holding our debt? Well, according to an article in the Poughkeepsie Journal, that's where I was last week, China getting missiles quicker. China is acquiring short-range missiles much faster than U.S. officials had thought and is aiming the weapons at Taiwan and possibly U.S. forces in Japan, according to a Pentagon report released Wednesday. Oh, but they're our friends. They sell us all those American flags that you can buy at Walmart. Maybe not. The Chinese Army is developing longer-range models capable of reaching Okinawa, Japan, home to more than 33,000 U.S. troops. See, China has been saying ever since Chiang Kai-shek went off to Taiwan in his failed attempt to take over China and seized that island, which was once part of China, they have said, hey, this is a renegade state, just like Abraham Lincoln said the Confederacy was a renegade state. And China has said, we're going to take it back. And the only thing that stopped them has been us, the United States. Ever since 1949, and a senior defense official said China may be using Okinawa to, quote, deter or threaten U.S. involvement if conflict erupts, end quote. So now China is buying these missiles, or building them, as fast as they're both buying and building, according to this, as quickly as they can, and they're pointing them at our soldiers in Okinawa, 33,000 U.S. troops. As the Pentagon says, quote, China was emphasizing a surprise, deception, and shock doctrine in its campaign against Taiwan and, quote, preparing for a potential conflict in the Taiwan Strait as the primary driver for China's military modernization. Boy, could this be a mess. And is this administration paying any attention to this, one wonders? And where's the news media? Why aren't... It's just incredible. Another article, this is in Knight Ritter News Service. The Bush administration pressed the CIA in the run-up to the war in Iraq to look for evidence of close cooperation between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, but the agency found no proof, according to an internal CIA intelligence review. The review also reaffirmed that U.S. intelligence agencies had no credible reports that Saddam knew in advance about the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks on New York and Washington. Now, this is the big spin cycle. I saw this on a couple of nights ago, and I meant to open the show with this. There was a news report. What's his name? the Bremer, the guy who's the, you know, our governor of Iraq. And it was a news conference. And again, I just don't get it, why the news media doesn't pick up on this stuff. Bremer, they were asking Bremer, you know, well, how's everything going in Iraq? And he said, well, we're looking into these connections between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. He's trying to invent something retrospectively. They realize that they were able to convince, with this drumbeat that started on literally on 9/11, three different administration officials within 24 hours of 9/11 had been on television saying Iraq had something to do with this, Saddam had something to do with this, we need to go after Saddam. And even though the internal CIA investigation found that Al-Qaeda and Saddam had nothing to do with each other, a pox on both their houses, by the way, had nothing to do with each other, that the Bush administration was successful in convincing more than 67% of Americans that Saddam had something to do with 9/11. And now that the truth has come out, they know. I mean, he knows his political survival depends on people continuing to believe this. And, of course, Fox News will dish it out to people. Sean Hannity will dish it out to people. The right-wing talk show host will dish it out to people because, you know, there's no obligation for truth there. Yeah, I mean, Fox even won the lawsuit where they could be forced to make reporters lie in television news. Jane Acre and Steve Wilson down in Florida. And so, you know, they'll continue to promote that, but they needed something bigger. They needed something that would get on ABC, CBS, CNN, NBC. And so they got Bremer on there, and he says, well, yeah, we're looking into these connections between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. He doesn't say they found anything, by the way. Of course. We're looking into it. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman. Stay with me. We'll return in just a few moments.
A real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bear Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bear Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bear Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
Dad, this race car game is awesome. Want to drive?
Oh, I love that game, but not with a bad headache.
You want to go home?
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
Can we stay a little longer?
Let's try virtual reality skiing.
Yeah!
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
see the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brainshrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters...
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Rainy day people always seem to know when it's time to call. Rainy day people don't talk, they just listen till they've heard it all.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Tax credits for SUVs can tax the mind. Louise found the article here on the Mercury News, published on July 5th of this year, so it's up to date. Turns out last year, to quote, the amount used to be $25,000 per year for an SUV. The new tax bill increases that to $100,000 to encourage businesses to spend money on all kinds of big-ticket items and get the economy going, end quote. It has to weigh more than 6,000 pounds. That's the key. And therefore, it's got to be an SUV, unless you want to buy a dump truck. And so Hummers are tax deductible, up to $100,000 under the new tax bill. Wowie zowie. Therefore, you see all these super luxury SUVs coming out. I mean, you know, it's like, whoa. Dell has stopped hiring prisoners for its recycling program. I suppose this is good news in that Dell stopped doing it. The bad news is somebody else, you know, will simply step in. I mean, Dell did this basically in response to bad press that they got. Responding to concerns from both customers and environmental advocates, Dell Computer announced yesterday that it would no longer rely on prisons to supply workers for its computer recycling program. They canceled their contract with Unicor, a branch of the Federal Bureau of Prisons that employs prisoners for electronics recycling and other industries. Inmates who work at the prison recycling operation were not protected by the Fair Labor Standards Act and were paid from 20 cents to $1.26 an hour. The report also criticized Unicor for not properly disposing of toxic waste. And this clean computer campaign of this coalition that was out protesting this, the coalition said that the reliance on cheap prison labor was a major obstacle to the creation of a profitable recycling industry for discarded electronics. Now, you know, the flip side of this, these folks say, well, you know, if we put these prisoners to work and give them something to do, yeah, we're only paying them $1 an hour, but most people who are making $6 or $7 an hour only end up, you know, if they're lucky, if at the end of the day, after they've paid for food and board, they end up with $1 an hour. Plus, we're giving people job training. But on the other hand, it creates these terrible dislocations, and you could call this slave labor. And it's not like these people volunteered for this job. So, strange goings on in our prison system. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. Secretary of State Colin Powell may leave the State Department even if President Bush is reelected in 2004. The Washington Post cites sources as saying that Powell and his deputy Richard Armitage will depart the day after the presidential inauguration in 2005. The Post says National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice is one of the leading candidates to take Powell's place. Iran may very well be in the final stages of building a nuclear bomb, according to a new report in the Los Angeles Times. Citing its own 3-month probe into the country's nuclear capabilities, the paper indicated Iran has been seeking help from scientists in Russia, China, North Korea, and Pakistan. Suggesting Iran is much closer to producing a bomb than Iraq ever was, the Times refers to a confidential report by the French government in May that concluded Iran was surprisingly close to having enriched uranium or plutonium necessary to make a bomb. Negotiations continue between Verizon Communications and unions representing its employees. In the meantime, some 80,000 workers from Maine to Virginia are reporting to their jobs without a contract. Two of the main issues being discussed are health care costs and job security. Workers say they are poised to strike if talks falter. The first contingent of African peacekeepers is arriving in Liberia today. Nigerian soldiers in combat dress stepped off Russian-made helicopters after they landed in Monrovia's international airport. Liberian rebel leader Sekou Diamanti Kene says he is glad to see the peacekeepers arrive.
We are welcoming the peacekeepers, and we are going to work with them, and we will cooperate with them, and they are welcome.
The 300 or so troops marked the first wave of peacekeepers to land in war-torn Liberia. Almost 3,000 others are expected to follow. Dozens of people suspected of remaining loyal to Saddam Hussein have been arrested in raids around the so-called Sunni Triangle. However, the military says it just missed nabbing an unnamed senior figure. The army says troops captured about 46 Saddam loyalists.
You know, MTV changed the way people look at television. Well, I helped change the way they look at MTV. I'm Lauren Lazen, Vice President of MTV News and Specials. I'm responsible for those documentaries on racism and drugs, sexual abuse and AIDS. You know, the ones that make some people uncomfortable, but make everybody think. I'm not uncomfortable speaking up for my ideas. Never have been. Even at school, where it wasn't always cool for a girl to be smart, my parents expected great things from me, so I did too. If you have a daughter, encourage her to stand up and be heard in school. Let her know it's cool to be smart, even in front of boys. Tell her to go for it, and then let her. Expect the best from a girl. That's what you'll get.
your daughter speak up for her ideas in school. Call 1-800-WCC-4GIRLS. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the Women's College Coalition.
President Bush is spending much of this month at his ranch in Crawford, Texas. The White House describes it as a working vacation. President Bush will also do domestic traveling this month, including several fundraisers for his reelection campaign. The Pro Football Hall of Fame inducted five new members in Canton, including running back Marcus Allen. Allen, who is also a member of the College Football Hall of Fame, was elected in his first time on the ballot.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One-A-Day Men's Health Formula. One-A-Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One-A-Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Israel has published the names of more than 340 Palestinian prisoners it plans to release Wednesday. It's the latest move aimed at boosting the so-called Roadmap Peace Initiative in the Middle East, but Palestinians want more. Nina Maria Potts reports.
Israel had said 540 Palestinian prisoners would be freed. Palestinians say the Israeli government has deceived them by announcing the release of just 342. The list of names includes 31 prisoners who were due to be released this month. Israel published the names in order to give anyone opposed to a prisoner's release time to appeal to Israel's Supreme Court to keep him in prison. So far, Israel has given no explanation as to why only 342 prisoners will be released, 183 of whom were convicted by Israeli courts of crimes such as stone throwing to membership in terrorist organizations, and 159 of whom have been detained without trial. Nina Maria Potts reporting.
I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Mirror, mirror, on my car? Tell me where the others are. Okay, I'm no poet, but I do know a thing or two about adjusting your car's mirrors. And when we come back, I'll reflect.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and Christian Fittipaldi. There's one more key to racing, Champion spark plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion spark plugs.
At home, mirrors reveal who's fairest of them all. But in cars, their function's no fairy tale. They're critical to safety. To properly align driver's side mirrors, press your left cheek against the window and adjust the mirror till you barely see the car's left side. For passenger side, lean toward the center and adjust the mirror until the right side's barely visible. Like Alice through the looking glass, you'll see things you never saw before, like where the other cars are. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite system, Sirius Channel 145. And streaming live across the United States, around the world, on the Internet, on radiopower.org and IEAmericaRadio.com, with archives at whiterosesociety.org. And in this hour, we are very pleased and honored to have Robert Reichon, former U.S. Secretary of Labor, professor of social and economic policy at Brandeis, former Harvard faculty member, chairman and co-founder of the American Prospect, author of 9 books, including The Work of Nations, translated into 22 languages, the bestseller Locked in the Cabinet, and most recently, The Future of Success. His commentaries can be heard every week on public radio, on National Public Radio. And Dr. Reich, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you for asking me on.
I'm very pleased to have you here. Is our economy, in your opinion, moving us away from democracy and toward a rule by the rich?
Well, certainly campaign finance, which is not yet reformed, despite the best efforts of several senators, is still flooding our democracy, flooding Washington with money, most of that money coming from people who are quite wealthy, from corporations, from centers of power. And the result is that most Americans feel disenfranchised.
Yeah. It's the old notion of plutocracy or aristocracy eventually winning out, you know, the old debates that Jefferson and Madison had.
I hate to think that they won out. I mean, I think that most Americans don't like it. They don't want to feel cynical about their government. They don't want to feel that they don't have the power that comes with citizenship. And I think that Democrats and Republicans alike would make a mistake to underestimate the public sense of outrage at money running politics.
Yeah. And what are your thoughts on this issue of whether corporations should have rights under the Bill of Rights, whether they should have, you know, Nike was arguing before the Supreme Court in April that they should have the right to lie because it's part of free speech.
No, individual chief executives, top executives, employees, individuals have rights under the Bill of Rights. They have First Amendment rights. But a corporation is a legal fiction. A corporation doesn't have and shouldn't have any First Amendment rights or any other rights.
Yeah, you realize that the Supreme Court disagrees
Boston
versus
Bellotti,
for example.
The Supreme Court that last looked at the issue said that corporations did have a First Amendment right. But with due respect, I think that the Supreme Court was wrong. They could change their mind. A different Supreme Court should, and it seems to me, definitely should find that although individuals have First Amendment rights, corporations don't.
Bravo. I am so pleased to hear you say. I wrote a book about this called Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. And it's just, this is not to plug my book. I mean, we should be plugging your books here on this program.
No, we'll plug your books, too. Tom, I'm glad that you are advocating this and other people are saying it, because what's happened is that essentially a corporate speech has substituted for individuals in our great so-called marketplace of ideas.
Yes.
All we hear from, basically, are either wealthy individuals or corporations. They are not only flooding the airwaves with their views, sponsoring issue ads, lobbying Congress, but the extent and quality of our public deliberation is probably worse today than I remember it over the last 40, 50 years of my life.
Yeah, ditto. In one of your articles that was run in the American Prospect, Have Corporate Earnings Really Turned Around? You point out that corporations are inflating their returns on their pension plans, that the employee stock options are not included, and therefore corporate earnings that are being stated right now are, you know, funny numbers. I don't know if you noticed in today's Wall Street Journal, the article, Wall Street May Lose Secret Weapon for Profits Could Face Wider Losses, where they're talking about profits from bond trading, underwriting, and mortgage-related businesses that are going to whack the banks and security industry, as well as the things that you pointed out in the other industries. Do you think that there is just this huge Enron accounting thing going on out there, as it were? I mean, that is to say that they're lying to us, or are these the anomalies?
I think that corporate balance sheets are still filled with very squishy numbers. Most investors, even institutional investors, have a hard time finding out what's really going on. Not just because stock options are still not reflected, and because the estimates of what is actually owed to pension plans are not fully disclosed, but also because there is still a lot of so-called aggressive accounting going on. After all, banks and accounting firms have not stopped selling kind of aggressive ways of showing greater profits. They may have toned it down a little bit since Enron and WorldCom, but they're still doing it.
Right. We're speaking with Robert Reich, the former U.S. Secretary of Labor and author of The Future of Success most recently. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 13 minutes after the hour. If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Dr. Reich, Jim in Ohio has a question for you. Jim, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Very good. I respect you so much, and I just admire you to no end. I know that you're very nice, and you temper your words well. But I would like to really cut through the mustard and find out from you your opinion. I believe the Bush administration is trying their best to destroy the government that we know and love. I believe he's trying to dismantle it from the top down and giving those refunds to the wealthy. Can you please tell us what this guy is up to and what is he doing to this country of ours? And don't be nice.
It's said, very Jim. Kind of you, Jim, to say what you did, and I try to be moderate in the way I describe things. I'm not an extremist, and I don't use snide, snarling language the way some people do. But let me tell you straight exactly what I see. This administration is reducing taxes mostly on the wealthy. It is also spending more quickly than most administrations. We have a military budget, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but a military budget that ordinarily, under ordinary circumstances, would require increased taxes, not decreased taxes. And what we're seeing then, not surprisingly, is gigantic budget deficits, larger than the deficits under the Reagan administration, deficits that are not just this year and next year, but are, even by the conservative estimates of the Congressional Budget Office, going to be $400 billion in the last year of the second term, if there is such a second term, of the Bush administration. And what this means, in the end, is that there is no money at all for anything else, including Social Security and Medicare and education and everything else this country would like to do. These people are taking a page out of the handbook of the Reagan administration, but they're doing it. I don't think the Reagan administration really knew what it was doing. I think these people actually want to starve America. They want to starve the federal government of the capacity to do absolutely anything at all.
Yeah, this is certainly, thank you, Jim, for that comment and question. That's certainly what Grover Norquist said. He doesn't want to destroy American government. He simply wants to reduce it to the size where he can drag it into the bathroom and drown it in the bathtub.
But you see, at a time when the world needs global leadership from America, when we do have a tremendous potential problem of homeland security as well as foreign terrorism, and when Americans, if we're going to be fairly prosperous in the global economy, we've got to invest heavily in education. A lot of Americans do not have adequate health care. These are not small issues. And the baby boomers in 8 years are going to hit their retirement, and they have got to and are promised Social Security and Medicare. To turn your back on all of this, to say it doesn't matter, to reduce taxes on the wealthy and pretend that we don't have to worry about long-term deficits, to me, is the height of irresponsibility.
Yeah, if not outright something close to I'm reluctant to use the word criminal, but just plain old flat-out destructive to democracy behavior. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. We're speaking with Robert Reich, the former U.S. Secretary of Labor, author of The Future of Success and many other books, regular commentator and founder on the American Prospect and founder of that publication, and also his commentaries can be heard on public radio. Vicki in Idaho has a question for you, Dr. Reich. Vicki, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Dr. Reich. I have a question about the WTO. The plans are for the WTO, it seems that what they want is totally unfettered capitalism.
Now, you're talking about the World Trade Organization, right?
Yeah, I am. And the deregulation of the electricity market is what allowed Enron to nearly bankrupt California. their plans are. And, by the way, the Senate just voted on a new energy bill that adds further deregulation with no consumer protection. As I understand it, the next part of the plan for the WTO is to go after the public water systems, deregulating all of that.
Yeah, we only have about a minute and a half left here, Vicki, if you can summarize your question.
The question is, what do you think about the WTO and what they're trying to do to us?
Well, Vicki, let me just say that the World Trade Organization, in my view, should not have anything to do with an individual country's decision about what to regulate and what not to regulate. And that means that the United States should not pick on Europe, because Europe doesn't want to have genetically engineered foods from the United States. If a country, a nation, decides it wants certain kinds of regulations for health or safety or simply to avoid monopolization, then we ought to respect that. The WTO ought to respect it. The United States ought to respect that.
Yeah, but the treaties built into the WTO don't provide for that respect.
Well, that's actually not quite the case, Tom. Those treaties have not specifically stated that no nation's regulations are going to be honored. I think we could make a very, very good, solid fight about that. Other nations, I think, would be with us. I don't think anybody wants their own regulations overruled.
Well, what I understand is happening in Michigan is that Canada is bringing their garbage and dumping it in Michigan, and there's nothing that they can do about it because they'll get sued under the WTO.
Yeah, we're Dr. Reich, if you can hold, can you stick around for a few minutes over this break? We've got a commercial break coming.
Absolutely.
Up here, Dr. Reich. Okay, great. Vicki, he'll respond to your comment. Then we have Jeff in Denver and Beth in California with questions. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Founding fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
One of the reasons people give for not buying LoJack is where they live. But that has little to do with whether your car will be stolen. It's where you drive. Do you drive to work, to a mall, to the city? That's why you need LoJack. Nationally, stolen vehicles that have LoJack are recovered over 90% of the time. And LoJack guarantees they'll recover your vehicle within 24 hours after you report it stolen to the police, or LoJack will reimburse you the cost of your LoJack system. See your car dealer or LoJack.com.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet.
We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HD TV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me?
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're speaking with Dr. Robert Reich, former U.S. Secretary of Labor, author of The Future of Success, a founder of the American Prospect and a regular commentator there and on NPR. We have Jeff in Denver and Beth in California, and we just have about 4 minutes in this segment, and Dr. Reich has to be on his way. So, Jeff, let's move this right along here. Jeff, your question.
Very quick question. First of all, I just want to just say I'm a big fan of yours, and I miss you being in government. I could talk to you all day, but two quick questions. One is, do you support any changes in corporate structuring or regulations where an executive pay may be restricted, like, say, in ratio to lower employee pay or other changes? And also, do you feel you have more influence inside or outside of government?
Thank you, Jeff. Dr. Reich?
Jeff, both good questions. On executive pay, I do think that we should alter the tax code so that any corporation cannot deduct executive pay from its corporate earnings if that executive pay is larger than $1 million. Over $1 million. I think that doesn't prohibit a company from awarding its executives over $1 million a year. It's just that a company can't deduct it from their income taxes.
Sir, that law is already in the books, isn't it?
Sorry?
Isn't that law already on the books? Wasn't
no,
that
it's not,
years
Tom. They can deduct corporate income, any executive pay over $1 million. The only requirement is that it be somehow related to corporate performance. Well, that's such a squishy, weak criterion,
right,
that companies basically don't even pay any attention to it. No, I'm talking about a hard and fast rule. No pay over $1 million can be deducted from corporate earnings,
right,
from corporate taxes, the earnings on which you pay taxes. Secondly, Jeff asks whether I have more influence outside the administration rather than in. I think that's a question that almost everybody who has been in the cabinet asks themselves. And the answer is that you have different kinds of influence. Inside, you can actually quietly influence the course of administration policy. You can't say very much publicly. Once you are outside, however, although your megaphone is much, much smaller than it was inside, you can say basically whatever you want. And hopefully, and I say hopefully, somebody out there listens.
Great. Beth in California has a question for Dr. Reich. Beth?
Yes, I'll try and make this really quick. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
No, hi, Beth.
Yes. But in the New York Times this morning was an article that between this year and the end of next year, approximately 10% of the IT jobs are going to be probably outsourced to places like India and China and other places, Brazil maybe. And that's been such a good middle-class life
job.
Beth, we have about a minute and a half left.
I'm just wanted your comments on outsourcing of all those middle class jobs, and what can people do now? What jobs are there available for people in the middle class?
Well, Beth, essentially, we're going to be an economy in which there are only two kinds of jobs left. On the one hand, there are going to be about 20% of our people who are working are going to have professional and managerial jobs that are fairly high-powered, pay very well, involve a lot of problem-solving. And then everybody else is going to be in the local economy in personal service jobs. Looking at the way we're going right now, those personal service jobs may be retail, restaurant, hotel, hospital, surface transportation, child care, elder care, and so on. They don't pay very well. They don't have very much status. What's the answer? Well, part of the answer is better educational opportunities for many people, more career ladders. Part of the answer is to make sure that personal service jobs get paid better, raise the minimum wage, the earned income tax credit, make sure that unions are available and people can easily unionize if they are in those personal service jobs. There's a lot that we can and must do, but I don't think we should prevent foreigners from doing certain kinds of jobs because, after all, they need the money too.
Yeah, there's the music, Dr. Reich. Is it possible, we've got a two-minute break here, is it possible you can stay on for just another 5 minutes? I have one last question for you about treasuries. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
The national unemployment rate for July slipped 0.2 to 6.2%, but it's not due to an improving economy. The Labor Department says the jobless rate fell because 556,000 Americans stopped looking for work. According to federal guidelines, those not actively seeking work are not counted in the unemployment figures.
No strike just yet at Verizon. Talks between the phone giant and its two unions stretched past a strike deadline yesterday and continued without resolution. Nearly 80,000 members of the Communications Workers of America and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers are poised for a walkout unless talks yield an agreement that meets workers' demands on health care and job security. Verizon cut some 18,000 jobs last year, not including 2,300 New York State workers whose terminations were successfully reversed by unions thanks to language in the previous contract that prevented their firing. The two unions are also looking for greater freedom to organize the company's largely non-union wireless and data divisions.
Sugar production is officially no longer a staple of the economy of Trinidad and Tobago. The Caribbean island chain closed its state-owned sugar company last week, laying off more than 8,000 people in the process. The workers received severance payments of about $12,000 each and will be allowed to lease land on which they can continue farming if they wish to.
It was a workhorse that powered travelers through cities and along highways over the last 70 years, but the reign of the Volkswagen Beetle finally came to an end over the weekend. After producing 21.5 million of the vehicles, Volkswagen finally pulled the plug on the last of its Beetle assembly lines in a plant outside of Mexico City. 300 workers will be reassigned to other areas, building Jettas and the more modern version of the Beetle. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Baby, I've been here before. I know this room. I walk this
door. And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman, the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Dr. Robert Reich, the former U.S. Secretary of Labor, professor of social and economic policy at Brandeis, author of The Future of Success, among many other books. Commentaries can be heard on public radio on Marketplace. I've heard you. And my last question for you, Dr. Reich, is over the weekend, over this last week, on Thursday, the bond market started to melt down. Bond yields started shooting up, or Treasury yields started shooting up. And I saw Louis Rukeyser over the weekend say, the increase in Treasuries indicates that the economy is recovering. And at the same time, there was an op-ed piece in the Financial Times last week saying that an increase in Treasury yields would indicate a potential disaster because we're in such a heavy deficit spending mode and because China has bought over $240 billion of our debt just this last year. Which is the case? What do you see happening with this, and how do you think that this is going to play out in the larger economy?
Oh, Tom, I don't think there's any question. The reason that long-term interest rates are going up is because, frankly, lenders are worried about inflation over the long term. The reason they're worried about inflation over the long term is because the national deficit and our national debt keeps on ballooning. And anybody who saw the kind of deficits that we are generating, not just this year and next year, but on into the future, $400 billion as far as the eye can see, is going to hedge his bets and going to demand a higher interest rate on loans. And that's what those long-term interest rates are all about. This deficit is out of control. And for Democrats and liberals to start being the voice of fiscal restraint and responsibility turns on its head the pattern of history. I mean, let's face it, when you have an economy like we have right now, a deficit is not a bad thing. John Maynard Keynes understood that we wanted to stimulate the economy, and government was the best and last vehicle for doing that. The problem is not this year or next year. The problem is 3, 4, 8, 10 years from now. And that is when we face huge inflationary forces, and that's what those long-term bond holders are reacting to.
Yeah, so you don't think that this has anything to do with the economy getting back into shape?
I wish I could be optimistic. You know, I would love to say that the economy is turning around, but we know, we just heard last Friday, that an additional 44,000 jobs were lost in July, on top of 70,000 lost in June, on top of 1.5 million jobs, 1.5 million jobs lost since the start of the Bush administration in the private sector. Well, this is pretty awful. We haven't seen a jobs decline like this since the Second World War. And I don't see any light at the end of this tunnel, frankly.
Yeah, I liked your suggestion that we call recessions those times when jobs start cranking back up for two straight quarters rather than losing them. I thought that was excellent. Dr. Reich, thank you so much for being on the program. I appreciate your staying over what you had expected and your willingness to answer these questions. I honor you, the work that you've done. And is there a website where people can easily find more of your writings and more information about what you're doing these days?
Yes, they can go to www.robertreich.org.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Reich. I appreciate your being on.
Thanks very much for inviting me, Tom. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye now. 1-800-TALK-YES is our question. Margaret in New Mexico is on the line. I think, I'm sorry, Margaret, I took that opportunity to ask him that question because ever since I got him on the air, I'd wanted to ask him, and you just called just a moment ago. I just saw it on there.
Because I know Robert Reich. He worked in the Department of Labor when I was working in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
And the Congress is not like it used to be, I have to say. But the thing that worries me, I've been listening to what he was saying, and he said he doesn't see any light in the tunnel, and I don't either, because it seems to me that what's happening now is a generation of immigrants that came in then in World War II. They're all going to be gone, and we're going to have this new generation coming up, and most of them aren't even educating themselves anymore. So there really is going to be a class thing, and if anyone wants to get unions together, I just don't understand how conservatives can believe everything that's saying, because in effect what I think our government is doing is trying to get rid of the government and change the whole spectrum of the way the government works. I don't know whether you're hearing me or not.
I am, and I agree with you, Margaret. I wrote about this somewhat in Unequal Protection, that in feudalistic societies, which is what you're describing, basically ruled by the rich, stratified classes, in feudalistic societies, a feudalistic society can only exist in the absence of a strong central government. If you look at the history of Europe, every time kings or other types of government became more powerful, the feudal lords became less powerful, and there was this dynamic between them. And in fact, the signing of the Magna Carta was probably the high point of power for the feudal lords back in the year 1045 or whenever it was that the Magna Carta was signed. I constantly forget that number. But that was the feudalism, and that's what we're returning to right now. And I do see a light at the end of the tunnel, though, and that is if we can change the administration in 2004.
Well, I would hope so, because I don't understand, in listening to you, I know the things that you have been saying and those people that you've had on there. They're saying the right thing, and the media doesn't really tell us. And if they got rid of the unions and everything and go back to where we were, back down to the bottom, and all the generations who are now on Medicare and Social Security aren't around, and they don't have anything that we used to have, and these kids that are growing up, there's going to be some kind of a scramble for what they're doing. And like the immigrants coming in today are going to have to start building up like they did when they were in Europe. My parents came from Europe. And when I see what's happening, it frightens me, something awful. And I'm thankful that you're saying the things that you're saying on the air, and I wish people would listen. Because I'm afraid if this administration gets on the next time in 2004, and I don't even know whether those Democrats want to even get in and try to fix what Bush has destroyed.
Yeah, it's Margaret, thank you very much for those comments. I appreciate your calling and your sharing that. And Bush has created this incredible mess that somebody's going to have to clean up. And on the one hand, it's almost like, you know, it'd be karma if he wins in 2004 and then he ends up having to deal with the mess. I've often thought that he might be, you know, our next Herbert Hoover, if he isn't already. He's certainly the first president since Herbert Hoover to have had anything close to this kind of a level of job loss on his watch. But on the other hand, I think that if Dean or some other Democrat who's willing to say, okay, we're going to go back to the Clinton-era tax structure at the least and start paying our way here, that things might survive. If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 19 minutes before the hour, and Linda in Cupertino is on the line. Linda, welcome to the program.
Hi, what a terrific interview with Robert Reich. I think we should get him on every day.
Isn't he a wonderful man?
At the same time, every day so that we can tune in and hear him. I just finished, you know, reading a whole bunch of books about the economy, and I really feel that because the liberals have allowed themselves to be co-opted by the right-wing media, they're not able to get all of these excellent reasons for dumping the Bush administration and the Republicans out to the public. What we need is a massive media PR campaign by the Democrats. It must be massive. And I don't know how to get that done. I don't know how to get that into their heads, that if they don't get heard, then their little tiny messages that they are giving in each little state, you know, trying to win their votes for their individual representatives and senators in each state isn't going to help.
Well, I can tell you how it gets done, Linda, and that is when we have a single candidate for president, which will be, March of next spring. I believe it's March. It'll be increasingly clear as we get closer and closer to that time. When we have a single candidate for president, that person is going to start paying attention to him. Howard Dean's on the cover of Newsweek and Time this week, and in those stories are his attacks on George Bush. And so, finally, after the media, typically after a president's elected, for the first 6 or 9 months, everybody treats him like, with kid gloves, and then they pull out the knives. And in this case, 9/11 happened, and that gave George another 2 years of feel good, everybody's with him. But I think the honeymoon's over, and I think that when the Democrats have a unified voice single candidate.
We have so many winning arguments for electing Democrats back into the White House and to control Congress that it's not funny. If the Republicans had this kind of advantage, they'd be doing great. But we need to use that, and I keep telling my Democrats here locally that they need to start playing hardball.
Yeah.
No more softball anymore. No more nice guy. No more I'm going to treat you nice because that's the way I want you to treat me.
Because the Republicans are not going to treat you that.
They are not. And the Democrats are idiots if they think that they are shaming them into anything. They're not. They have to start. Democrats must start playing hardball. And we need someone. We need a media that will do for us what the media is doing for the Republicans. And that's what we have to have.
Yeah, I'm there with you, Linda.
I'm sure.
We are building that media, by the way, with the IE America Radio Network. We are working hard to get these kinds of shows on as many stations as we can across the nation and spread the word. And I really think that progressive or liberal talk radio is the next hot thing because people are just. I just was having a conversation yesterday with a friend of mine who runs 12 radio stations here in New England, and he said people are fed up with right wing talk radio. They're over it. They're actually starting to get angry responses from listeners because it's so clearly partisan.
So clearly non-productive and destructive for our country, including their fiscal policies. Their fiscal policy, the Democrats need to win the next election on the failure of the Republican fiscal policies alone.
Yep, and there's no shortage of them. Linda, thank you for your comments. I appreciate your calling in, and I right there with you. Thank you, Linda. John in Long Beach has called 1-800-TALK. Yes, 1-800-825-5937. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's up?
Hey, Tom. Yeah, I called because I agree with what Professor Reich said, or Mr. Reich, whatever the case is. There's something I don't agree with him on. And there was one other thing I wanted to speak about, too. But first on Reich, I do not agree with him on this outlook towards outsourcing. Now, the reason I say this is because I think American companies that have developed in this country have had American workers, that their first loyalty should be to this country and
yes.
to the American workers.
Yes.
And taking companies overseas so that you can get workers for 30 cents an hour, I'm totally against it. The only way that I don't object to outsourcing is if you have a you don't have what's the word for it, where you can't get enough people.
Yeah. If there's a labor shortage, or if you need a particular type of talent or skill or something like that,
yeah,
I agree.
It's not available. That's, I don't have a problem with that. But when you outsource a lot of things to China, especially as China, my God, and other countries, just because you want to greed and make more money, I think they should be outlawed. I really do. You know, if you notice, when I was in the workforce, one of the things a company would tell you, well, now, if you come to work for us, we expect your undivided loyalty. I don't know if they still do that or not, but they did when I was there.
I don't think they do, because they're not loyal to their workers, and so there's not a sense of reciprocal loyalty.
No, they're not. I mean, even when I was in the workforce, the companies, even though they wanted your loyalty, they weren't loyal. They weren't loyal to you. I mean, they didn't want you to get...
Well, some companies are, and some companies have been. I mean, they're particularly small, locally owned businesses, there can be a very intense sense of loyalty to their employees.
And the smaller ones, yeah, but I'm talking about huge corporations. They can fire you in a nanosecond, but if you leave, you're supposed to give 2 weeks' notice or whatever.
Right.
This is the reason why I don't like Clinton. That's one of the worst things that's ever happened to this country.
I agree. John, you said when you first came on you had 2 points. What
was the other thing is on Dean.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot vote for Dean because he thinks that Iran is a serious problem. He was not a good environmentalist when he was governor.
Really?
And so forth. A couple other things.
Now, I live in Vermont, and that's not. And I've lived here for the last 8 years, and I didn't perceive him as an anti-environmentalist.
Well, talk to the Greens. They'll give you... They'll give you
There is a couple of people in this state, John. There's one in particular who has been writing in various internet venues as if he represents the Greens or the Progressives here in Vermont and trashing Dean. And this is a guy that went head-to-head with Dean on several occasions in Dean's administration when he was governor. And there were times when Dean made compromises happen that didn't satisfy the Greens. There were a lot of times, though, I can tell you, because I live here, and I've been, and I read the newspapers, and I live four blocks from the Capitol, and am involved in this stuff, that there were many, many times when the Greens got what they wanted, and industry didn't get what they wanted. But there are some people who are just like sour grapes. You know, you can never play. If you're not 100% pure, you're no good in your worldview.
I understand that. I understand it. In the LA Times today, they're doing a hatchet job on Kucinich.
Yeah.
In America. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
I haven't seen it, no.
If you read it, it's kind of one of those things, oh, that don't look too bad. But when you read between the lines, you realize it's really a hatchet job.
Yeah.
And Kucinich, to me, right now, offers more than any of these guys.
Oh, I think he's a great guy, but it doesn't look like he's going to get the nomination. I mean,
I'd like to see him and Bernie Sanders on the same ticket.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. John, thanks for the comment and thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
The Long Ride Home by Super 8 Motels.
Somewhere between 14 hours in a minivan, between the world's largest pothole and the hubcap that got away, between 5, look at the horses, and 1 amazing sunset. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
All Super 8 Motels are individually owned and operated.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here to talk to you about InPhone, the advanced, enhanced, totally modern directory assistance available all across this great country of ours. Just dial 888-411-1111, and the super-friendly operator will help you access phone numbers or movie times, even driving directions to the theater. So call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Governor Jesse sent you. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
Can we hope to achieve real progress while corporations wield control over our government and many civic institutions? At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we believe revoking illegitimate corporate power is a prerequisite for making genuine progress on the issues that affect us all. If you'd like to help restore citizen authority over corporations, get involved. Visit us at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
You check the batteries in your smoke detector and the air in your tires to protect your family. But how about your credit report? Experts recommend you check it regularly, too. And FreeCreditReport.com makes it easy. Log on today, and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report. A surprise in your credit report could cause you to be turned down for a loan or a credit card. See your credit report online instantly. Make sure you get the credit you deserve with FreeCreditReport.com.
Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try, try and try, try and try.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. An email that we got from Bill in Illinois, Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Not an email, a posting on our message board at TomHartmanShow.com. He says, "The doorbell rang and I answered the door earlier today just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was 50-ish, fit, prematurely gray, very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, 'Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain.'" Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I'd made it known, and then he left, but not before I made it known to him in no uncertain terms that I consider Bush a menace to America. I pointed out Bush dared the snipers to attack our servicemen in Iraq, and since then several have died as a result of sniper attacks. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. And he tells me that I would share this with all of you in case you try to run into any loud pro-Bushers. He says the sniper thing was enough to blow him off. Our junkie responds. He says, I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary. And Klaus says, time to pull the old classic fire up a chainsaw and saw your way through the front door trick. It's been used to extremely good effect on the witnesses. You should have seen them run. Just be prepared to replace your El Cheapo hollow core door. And Klaus adds, well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect as well. How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. Oh, my. We have got just a little thing I wanted to share with you. I was reading the Constitution this weekend, of all things, and I ran across Article 6, Section 3. I never realized this was in here. They're talking about senators and representatives and the judicial officers and that they shall be bound by an oath of affirmation to support this Constitution. Get this language. But no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. Our program today was produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont and engineered by Shar Jones in Detroit. Thank you, Shar. Thanks for joining us today on the Tom Hartman program. Tune back in tomorrow, same time, same place.
You've come through a hole in the air from those ads, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday!